The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and also with you. You long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy, restrain us from excess, and revive in us a new hope that all creation will one day be healed. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what a large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be a sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginnings of birth pangs." In 1987, which feels like a very, very long time ago now, REM sang, "It's the end of the world as we know it." And our gospel reading today has that kind of feel to it. Yet it's a kind of strange lectionary reading, because we have the first 8 verses of Mark chapter 13, which give us a tiny glimpse of what Jesus is thinking. But actually, it's just a tiny part of the story of Jesus talking to the disciples, having been into the temple and now sat at the Mount of Olives. In order to make sense of what we've heard, we need to reference today's readings in the context of the whole chapter, as well as the previous chapters in Mark. So a quick run through. Mark chapter 11 has Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He curses a fig tree, he cleanses the temple, and then is questioned about where his authority comes from. This is the last time that Jesus will be in Jerusalem, as his arrest and death is imminent. Chapter 12 starts with the parable of the tenants, and then questions about taxes, and the Sadducees are asking questions. And Jesus states that the first commandment is to love God and to love others. We then have Jesus warning about the scribes, and then the widow's offering. And all that takes place in and around the temple area. The temple in Jerusalem before its destruction in AD 70 was a feat of ancient architecture. The first temple was constructed by Solomon in about 950 BC until it was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587. It was then rebuilt, and just before Jesus was born, Herod the Great took it on as a renovation project, as you do. Mary Healy writes that Herod the Great decorated the sanctuary's white marble facade with gold that gleamed in the sun and expanded the platform on which the building stood to a massive 35 acres. And this is the temple that Jesus knew. So as Jesus and the disciples moved from the temple to the Mount of Olives, the temple would have been still visible to them. Maybe they were just sat looking at it, marveling once again at the building and all that it represented. It was a place to come and worship, a place to meet with God, a place that gathered everyone together, particularly at the Passover time. And maybe that's why the disciples are sat there looking at this marvelous building, and they turn to him and say, "Look how great this is." The temple that they're seeing, that amazing building that they get to worship God and have access to. The Jewish nation had lived through one loss of a temple, the one that Solomon built. And if another was destroyed, it would be more than just a lovely building gone. But it would mean the heartbeat of the community would be wiped out. It was a place of ritual, a place of journey, every Passover, a place people could call home, and to suggest that it might be dashed to the ground would horrify the listener. But that's what Jesus says. He says that it will be destroyed, which in fact we know it was in 70 AD. Peter, James, John, and Andrew gather around to ask Jesus what he means, with, I can imagine, a certain amount of amazement and shock. And as we've seen before, the disciples don't get a straightforward answer. In fact, Jesus muddies the water even more. It's like he has just a big stick in a puddle that is dirty, and he just keeps stirring, making the water more and more muddy and even harder to understand what he means. Is it about the fall of the temple in terms of the end of a Jewish world and the enter into a new era? Or is it about the end of the world and Jesus' return? We have wars and conflicts around the world for the last 2,000 plus years. And there are many who we could name who have tried to lead people astray in terms of them being world leaders, as well as those in the church who have won people over with a charismatic personality, and yet behind the scenes, they're not what they seem. Even in the last few weeks, the Church of England have been hit with another safeguarding report, and leaders who were different than what they seemed. Rather than Jesus talking about the end of the world, one writer, Ian Poole, wrote that maybe Jesus is warning us, in fact, of us having a Messiah complex. The thought that nothing can happen without me, that I am the centre of everything that happens. And that's a very easy thing for clergy or any church worker to fall into the trap of, thinking that nothing can happen unless they're stood at the front. And yet some statistics prove that churches with no leaders, with no clergy, sometimes actually grow in their vacancy. The Messiah complex convinces us to work harder and to do more because we're the only ones that can do it. But Ian Poole continues that our role is not to go down that route, but to live out the kingdom in a world of false hopes, and to live out the confidence of the kingdom in a world that is being shaken until Jesus comes again. Yet Jesus warns us to be careful and to ensure that nobody leads us astray. It's very easy to say, but possibly harder to do with the world of social media and instant news that we have. How do we recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing? How do we discern who is going to lead us down the wrong path until we're stuck in the mud and realize that maybe it wasn't such a good idea to follow that person? Without making too much of a comment on US politics, many of us wonder what the next 4 years of Donald Trump might bring and how that will play out for those in America and in the world. So where does this leave us all? Is it really, as R.E.M. sang, the end of the world as we know it? Possibly. But Jesus himself and the disciples faced trouble and opposition throughout his ministry on earth. And yet when the time came, the disciples were able to stand on their own, and they did so with courage. They didn't lose heart. They were strong. Strong in the faith that whatever happened, Jesus would be there with them and one day would come back. They may have thought that that might happen in their own lifetime, and yet we now still are waiting for that to happen too. But while the world around us seems to be falling apart, we need to stand firm. Firm in our faith in God. Firm in the kingdom values, which is about sharing God's love with others, no matter who they are or where they're from. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.